Well, I thought I would say a few words to you about living in God, what that might mean to each of us. We use the expression or something similar to that. We talk about having a sacred life or trying to align with our soul purpose. Think of whatever expression you might use for living in God. Soul purpose. Feeling aware of God's presence. So I want to expand the frame of reference a bit because it needs to be that we know how to live in God, in the presence of whatever is coming up in life. That's the important thing. It's something that has to move from a concept to an experience, or if not an experience, then something one reaches for as an experience. See, the lines between belief and experience are not just hard and fast, one place and then another place. There's an in-between where what you hope for that hasn't arrived, you reach for, and the reaching for it creates an experience of its own. Prayer does that, but also on an emotional level, trust does that. The reaching has to be trusted, otherwise one wouldn't have any reason to do it if it seemed like it was pointless. So the reaching to feel the living in Godness is an important part of living in God. Not necessarily that one starts out with an experience, but that one hopes and trusts that it's possible. The reason I'm speaking about this today is because there are many people in the world, and many people here, who have long-standing difficulties separating from whatever emotion has been the predominant painful emotion of life. And for each of us, that might be different. The content would be different. The specific words would be different. So the living in Godness that I'm talking about would be the way of reaching through that which is the painful experience to say, there is something that's more real than what I'm experiencing right now. There is something that's more true of me, of who I am. There would have to be a willingness to attach one's trust or one's belief to that idea. And that is what we call surrender. But it's also something else. Surrender isn't passive, it's active. So to say, here is my feeling that I'm having, and I've had it for as many years as I can remember, or I've had it maybe just a very long time, but I'm choosing to believe that something else is me that's more real than this feeling that I'm having. That's the place where one chooses to live in God. That's the place of the affirmation of beingness over emotionality. And it requires an effort of will and an effort of heart. Sometimes it's not too difficult when the painful feeling or the painful sensation isn't one that one has been carrying for a very long time and therefore its roots are very deep. But let's say in the difficult situation where something feels like it's inescapable because it's a feeling or an attitude or a motivation that seems like it's been around forever. Let's take that example. So then where do you go with that in order to practice? Here's another phrase, practicing the presence of God. Where do you go with that? You have to go to the suspension of reality, emotional reality. You have to go to the willingness to believe that what you're feeling is not the only or the main feeling that you could be feeling, even if it seems to be, even if it seems to be the main feeling and the only feeling. The reaching for this other place, this beingness place, begins over time to change the inner dynamic in the way energy flows. In the moment, it may not. In the moment, you might feel I'm reaching and nothing's happening, or I'm reaching and I'm still feeling pain, or I'm reaching and I don't really believe that there's anything that's possible. You might feel those things in the moment. So this has to be a long-term project. It has to be a project in which we are willing to turn our will from engagement with emotional reality as the primary identification to soul reality as the primary identification. And for all kinds of reasons, the reason that I said of his history, where something has just been painful for so long that it seems like it's difficult to let go of, or something has been so frightening for so long that it seems like it's difficult to let go of, whatever the burden has been, there has to be a willingness to suspend identification with that belief that that's your identity that's necessary in this moment, and to affirm in whatever way you can do it, only God is real. Only my deeper being is real. Everything else is here for a different reason. Whatever reason it might be, you don't have to know the reason. We think we have to know, we don't. We don't have to know why something is happening. We only have to know that there is a deeper self and a less deep self, and that the energies of darkness attach to the less deep self, creating a feeling of continual burden of a particular thought or idea or emotion that seems inescapable. This is what's involved in living in God in the presence of difficulty. It's the suspension, the willing surrender of identification with that which seems inescapable and is not inescapable. The willing surrender of that so that one isn't attached to what's happening with it. This is not to say that the feeling or the emotion will just disappear. It would be nice if it did. But what it does is it creates a space in which it can become less important and something else can become more important. That's the place of turning to the presence of God that is operating as a potential even in the more difficult moments of time. Our history as human beings is so full of identification with the emotional mental level of our being that this is not an easy thing to do. The reason is that in the course of human history, the way in which individualized consciousness has taken place is primarily through having emotions. In other words, it's not bad to have emotions. It's been a good thing. It's taught us to become self-aware. Emotions and thoughts, they go together. In our history as a species and in our history as a soul, we have relied on emotional messages and mental messages to tell us who we are. So there's a long standing identification with the very thing we're trying to step away from. That's what makes it difficult, the belief that that's who we are, that's come from our personal history. Why do it? Why do it if it's so hard to do? There's only one reason, and that is the freedom to be in a truth that's truer than the emotional message that one is getting in life. There are emotions that are connected to the divine self. There are emotions that are connected to the soul. But those all derive from love, peace, and joy, which are the qualities of the soul. So there are emotions that are, let's say, part of one's soul, embodied soul life on earth that could be there, that are part of those things that the soul resonates with. But for the rest, these are the things that we have acquired that represent our view of reality without trust in the divine. So even though we have spent countless lifetimes developing emotionality, now in the time of the soul seeking to become a stronger influence on our life, we are in the process of making the turnaround or the transition into soul identity, rather than emotional identity. But we have to be patient with it because it's been so long that we've been purposefully involved with emotional identity, purposefully. One of the other places to practice living in God or the presence of God is with physical pain, because physical pain, like emotional pain, involves two things. It involves the physiology of pain, what you're feeling in your body, in your cells, in your tissues, and then it involves your attitude towards the pain. And the attitude towards the pain contributes perhaps 50% of the pain. So attitude towards pain and pain are not the same thing. And when one's attitude changes to one that is less anxious, more tolerant, more accepting of divine safety, more accepting of divine purpose without knowing the purpose, then there's a relaxation around the physical pain so that the pain becomes less painful and there's more space around it, which is what makes it less painful. Those teachings that come from the meditative approach to pain management, this is not new news, this is old news, that pain and the attitude towards pain are two different things. So we are equally capable of giving over our attachment to have the attitude of anger, protest, anxiety, fear, resentment, whatever the other feelings are that one could have about not wanting one's body to be in the condition it's in. All kinds of feelings come up. Let's say that you see that all, it's the landscape of your emotions, and you see it all, and you wish you weren't in pain physically. Yes, that's fine. Nobody wants to be in pain physically, or any other way. So you recognize that, and you still are willing to separate from the emotional connection with the pain that says, I don't have to approach pain in this way. I could approach it in a different way. These things that I'm sharing with you are the way to turn to and to receive the Divine Mother in life. The Divine Mother is the presence of God within. The Divine Mother is the presence that is in principle accessible to us at all times. But if we close the door, then the door is closed. And so it becomes harder to feel something other than, let's say, the anxiety or the fear of the moment. We can tell ourselves, I want to experience God's presence. We can use the words, I want to do that. I'm praying all the time. But you see, it's a very complicated and paradoxical thing that the different parts of the self can be doing two contradictory things at the same time. The mental self can be saying, I'm praying for relief of pain, I'm praying for surrender, I'm praying to give whatever is going on in me over to God. And the will, the emotional, motivational self, can be saying, I can't stand what I'm feeling, I don't want it to be there, I wish it would go away, why has God abandoned me? What else? I'm afraid this will never change, I'm stuck, I'm trapped. Those things can be coexisting with the desire to surrender. So the surrender part is what you hold as an intention sometimes in your mind, but the will part has to be, I'm willing to let go of these attitudes about the feelings I'm having. There's the pain, and then there's the attitude towards the pain. There's the emotion, and then there's the attitude towards the emotion. The purpose here is to actually have an understanding that is experiential, that God is real, that God is always present, and that is possible, no matter what life circumstances are, to reach for that understanding. And I don't mean understanding mentally. I mean understanding in your heart. I mean understanding in your deeper knowing. The problem with this is that too often we believe we're reaching And we are, but we're not seeing the other part that's clinging to the attitude that's attached to having this reaction that's painful to our pain. So we're trying to let go with one hand and holding on with the other hand. That's the plight of most people in relation to surrender, that the conscious self is saying the right things, is praying, is asking, and the less conscious self is still feeling all of those other feelings about whatever the long-term problem has been. The living presence of God is not a thought. It's a bodily experience. One can feel, I would say, in the body, that everything's fine. Like that. Simple to say it like that. That everything is all right, or everything is good the way it is. Any of those variations would be the presence of the divine. That nothing else has to happen. Nothing else has to be different. And that doesn't mean everything's perfect. It doesn't mean that the pain is gone. It just means that everything is good the way it is. Everything is fine. That's a soul perception that is, let's say, an indicator of having made some contact with your own deeper self. The feeling of greater ease, the feeling of all rightness, the feeling of peace. You can have peace with your own pain. You can have peace with your own worry. It's a coexistence of the soul's presence, which is coming as the divine within yourself, with whatever is still hanging around of worry and fear and pain. One has to be willing to let go of the attachment to the repetitive nature of the thought, whatever the thought is that's painful. The repetitive nature is what's come from other lifetimes into this lifetime, and that has great insistence. It says, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. All the time it says, listen to me. I'm your fear, listen to me. I'm your anger, listen to me. I'm your sense of being hopeless, listen to me. All of those voices, they come from other lifetimes, and they sit inside our consciousness, repeating the message. And the reason it's repetitious is because it has such deep roots. Okay, so it's up to your own conscious desire to be free, to go in a different direction, to not increase the pain by engaging with the idea that it's all there is, giving oneself to that which is painful. I haven't spoken today about living in God when it's easy, because that's easy to talk about. Living in God when it's easy is easy because then it feels like all's right with the world and that everything is held in a state of trust. And in those moments when everything feels that way, one isn't in a struggle with anything. So it seems to happen naturally by itself, and then we just are grateful for it, but really didn't do anything about it. It just arrived, the feeling that everything is fine the way it is. So I wanted to share with you how one could try and reach for that kind of perception in the presence of oppositional forces, because the other is something that is greatly desired and beautiful when present, but we feel it just comes and goes by itself. So there's a little bit of truth in that, that it comes and goes by itself, but there's also the possibility of that gray area where the divine is present, but one has to reach for it and reach through the emotional identification. And in case after my speaking you're not sure what I'm saying about you, it's the repetitive thought that you have about yourself, basically, or about your life. It's that simple. It's the same repetitive thought that you hold day after day about yourself or your life. That's the place where surrender is needed. And that's the place where compassion is needed, because that repetitive thought is the one that's been with you for a very long time. And so it can't just take a walk, much as we might wish it to. No, it has to be tolerated, but not with attachment, not with feeling that it's all there is. This learning that I'm trying to convey is based on an understanding that the soul is real, and that the soul energy or the soul presence, which holds our divine consciousness, the soul presence holds our living in the presence of God or living in God. The soul is our living in God. The soul is living in God. So it's based on the premise that the soul is real and that access to our soul identity is more accessible today. If it weren't for that fact, there wouldn't be anything to talk about. But there it is. You know, we're living in a time of transformation, and we can each pray to do our part to accomplish that within ourselves, especially in those difficult areas where things don't seem to easily move, and we seem to be embedded in the same old ideas that we've had for a long time. So this is a project for your inner work, for anybody who wants to do it. But there isn't another project that's more important, because it's the path of freedom. It's the path of freedom from falsehood, from constraint, from burdens, from identification with all kinds of limitations, both emotional and physical. Therefore, it's worthy. It's a worthy struggle. It's a worthy path. We pray for ourselves and for all beings that we may find within ourselves the courage and the trust to embark upon this path of truth with the sense of sufficiency, that we have the strength, that we have the understanding, and especially that we have the compassion for ourselves to walk with patience down this path of greater illumination. May all beings be blessed. Om Namo Bhagavate.